Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I am Kara Hetland, and joining me now is Mark Vandenbroek. He is a thanatologist and music therapist at Avera Behavioral Health Center in Sioux Falls. And Dr. Vandenbroek, thanks so much for taking time and coming on Dakota Midday today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Well, we've heard a lot of stories recently in the last week or two about murder-suicide and incidents involving families, and wanted to take a little bit of time as September is Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month. So let's start by talking about what point do people get to when they reach that breaking decision for suicide?
Well, you look at the whole relationships of the family dynamics and how everyone seems to be scattered around nowadays, but the awareness and why people get to this point, there can be so many different tracks, from anger to sadness to people feeling that the world's crushing in on them. And so the difficult part with suicide is always that, we have these what ifs. I should be able to identify these things, and we should know as family members. But the obvious is knowing if there's change in behaviors, if there's more isolation, or if there's just something unusual or different with behaviors, there might be some concerns.
Can suicide be just a rash, harsh decision, or is it something that's typically, thought out and planned?
It can be both. Mm-hmm. It can be that impulsive thing that my world, like I talked about, the world's crushing in on me and I need to do something desperate. Or it could be well thought out, saying, I've been a failure to the world. I've been a failure to my family. There could be alcohol, drug issues. There could be multitudes of things. But bottom line, it's the feeling of hopelessness.
And what kind of signs are there for people to watch for?
Signs would be, as I mentioned, kind of the secludedness, more irritability. Mm. You might look at more impulsive type behaviors, more recklessness. Again, it covers a gamut mm-hmm. of different emotions and feelings that go on in behaviors. And that's the tough part with, particularly with suicide. Sometimes it's very difficult to know because we're unable to read minds. But the best thing we can always do is to ask or to be a part of the person's life and say, hey, are you feeling sad? And even asking the question, are you feeling suicidal?
Be that direct.
Yes.
That's kind of hard to do, isn't it?
Well, definitely, but it's in our line of work, and that's, are you feeling suicidal today? Is there something that's been troubling you? Is there something that mm-hmm. we can do together? And I look at the situation that we've just had recently, it's really challenging. There's a lot of blame that goes on. There's a lot of, again, misinterpretations. But so far, we don't know all the facts, and we don't know what goes on in the mind right at the end. And sometimes it might be, I don't have another way out. Mm-hmm. And to have somebody say, there might be. Let's look at this. Let's call the suicide prevention. Let's call behavioral health. Let's call somebody. Let's call our pastor or whomever that we can maybe get some different input or vantage point.
I've heard also when it comes to suicide that sometimes the behavior changes where they're happy and at peace because they made the decision.
Correct. That is correct. In that case, if it's something unusual, that we've seen that happen before as well. And that's the very challenging part of working and looking at trying to prevent suicide, the prevention for the month. It's bringing the attention that it is all around us. But if there's interventions, if there's ways that we can intervene, that can be the rewarding part of maybe finding a different direction for a person, to find hope in despair. So,
and as a mental health expert, that's your role. But me, just knowing somebody, what kinds of signs do I look for in acquaintances or family members? Same things?
Same thing. I would, again, as I mentioned, you look at, you know, is there more sadness? Is there increased alcohol consumption or drugs? Is there different changes in behavior? We tend to be very routine people. And if we notice a difference in spending or just saying, you know, I'd like you to have this stuff that, you know, it doesn't really mean anything to me anymore. I mean, those are pretty basic things, but mm-hmm. they're strong indicators that, you know, maybe they're looking at ending their life.
And oftentimes you recognize the signs after the fact.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, Kara, is that, you know, we look at the woulda, shoulda, coulda's. Mm-hmm. And as a society, as a community, as individuals, we have a tremendous guilt factor that comes into play. I should have seen this coming. If I would have done this. And the unfortunate part with guilt is the realization that we really aren't that powerful. I mean, if we could read somebody's mind, you mm-hmm. know, that's a different story.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. But
not always.
But that we continue to beat ourselves up. And mm-hmm. what I really attest to, being a thanatologist, a grief therapist, is that we look at not having to really own that, the death or the suicide or the whatever might be going on, because it really, if we could have prevented it, we would have.
Mm-hmm. And so then what is your advice, say, to the community of Platt right now?
Just to be true to your emotions. There's a wide range of feelings that it's going to be very normal. A lot of anger, sadness, but being able to share some of the frustrations. And I encourage people, for me, it's okay to be angry at what happened, but you have to keep in mind every one of those family members are individuals, and every one of those individuals had connections with other people, mm-hmm. and they're grieving as well. And the parents of everyone, the grandparents, the cousins, they're all grieving this. And when a suicide and a homicide happens, we tend to close up even more because we don't want to talk about it because we're going to get criticized. And, you know, bottom line, every one of those family members most likely had a lot of good things about them, too. It's not negating what happened, believe me, but it's also being able to recognize we're not going to forget what happened, but we can also focus on who they were as people.
And if somebody is listening right now who is thinking about hurting themselves or somebody else, where do they go for help?
Well, in my own arena, it's calling the Avera Behavioral Health mm-hmm. at 605-322-4065, and that's our assessment office. And it's just giving there's somebody there to talk with, to challenge, not to challenge, but to be present with you and to say, you know what, let's look at maybe some resources for you, some alternatives.
And is that, you know, is there a solution to how people feel when they have no hope?
Is there a solution? Well, what I try to encourage people to look at is finding the ray of hope. You know, when you have that darkness and that tunnel, it's difficult to see a little beam of light. And what we try to do is try to be that light, to say there's a different direction. There are alternatives.
I've seen a lot of social media lately of people telling their stories, especially this month about suicide prevention and awareness, where they're really putting their stories out there and saying, you know, this is what happened in my family. Is that healthy?
I think it can be to a degree. It can, particularly with suicide in families, if I can bridge that, mm-hmm. that oftentimes those family members feel very isolated, that they don't want to talk about it or talk to anybody about it because you're going to get criticized that your family member committed suicide, didn't they? And that we have a judgmental thing. And unfortunately, you know, we don't walk in other people's shoes. We don't know what's going on that, you know, would lead a person to do such a thing. But we need to also to be supportive to families and to communities to say, you know what, there's still good in those people. Even though the horrificness of what happened is ever present, there's still good in there.
Is there still a stigma attached to suicide?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
And unfortunately. And that's, you know, our state is, you know, it's pretty, if not the highest in suicide per capita. And our society gets, again, judgmental. It, in some areas, it almost comes to be expected. And unfortunately, in some of the reservations, it's sad because it becomes complacent. Oh, somebody else suicided. And that's, to me, very, very unfortunate.
So do we then, as a society, need to take an active role of finding that ray of sunshine and just shooting it out there to see?
So. I believe so.
How do we go about doing that?
Well, it's just, again, providing rays of hope, saying, you know what, there can be different things. It even goes so much as, you know, with radio, with music that is played, or with presentations and programs that are run. We can get lost in the doom and gloom very easily. Our whole, you know, social media can be geared that way. But if we can focus more on the good, that's kind of an obvious statement, but there are good things that happen every day.
And are there resources available for those who are affected by suicide?
Yes, very much so. Through our helpline, through our Vera assessment, through different community things, pastors, clergy of any type, all have resources and availabilities to things.
So don't be afraid to talk about it.
No. That's, again, kind of one of the misunderstood things is, well, I'm the only one feeling this way. Mm. And it correlates with depression or anything else, you know, even though we hear people struggle with it, from actors to football players to whomever, it's pretty common. And we've got to find ways to have support.
There's kind of an unwritten rule in media organizations that you don't talk about suicide as a death. So there won't be, especially if it's a high school student or what, a young person, so you don't have the copycat come. And so where's that fine line of raising awareness and bringing out that beam of light to protecting this from happening again?
Mike, great question, Kara. And I think, again, our job is to say, you know what, it's okay to talk about it. And the copycat thing, I don't know. I somewhat question that because, you know, people will think about it anyway. Hmm. And if we don't talk about it, if we don't ask, how will we ever know? Hmm. And I'd rather err on being, you know, too cautious and saying, you know, are things going pretty good? Are you struggling? Or, you know, asking those open-ended questions that say, you know, are you feeling suicidal? You know, is there anything that's giving you hope? They're pretty easy questions in some regards, and generally the people I've seen tend to be honest and say, yeah, I am struggling today.
And that's becoming a more common question for doctor visits and those kinds of things as well, that, you
Correct.
Know, all of those assessments get that mental assessment as well.
Yeah, just a kind of a status of, you know, how are things going? And what can we do to help? I think as a society, as a community, that's going to be one of our major statements. What can we do to help?
What can we do to help? Well, Dr. Vandenbroek, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us on Dakota Midday today. I know you need to get to a meeting, so thank you so very much.
You are welcome.
Mark Vandenbroek is with a music therapist and thanatologist at Avera Behavioral Health Center in Sioux Falls. Don't forget, tomorrow, Carl Gerke returns to Dakota Midday for a live broadcast from the South Dakota Festival of Books. Ron Capps, founder of the Veterans Writing Project, joins the program along with Calamity Jane historians Richard Edelaine and James McLaird. Blogger and positive image advocate Brittany Gibbons is also on the show, and best-selling novelist Faith Sullivan joins the program. It's live from Deadwood tomorrow over the noon hour here on Dakota Midday. And coming up next week on Dakota Midday, we have some World Affairs Council speakers who are in town. We have the Newhart Award winner who is in town, and all coming on the program on Dakota Midday next week as well. So be sure and stay tuned. Lots of interesting people to introduce you to on Dakota Midday. Special thanks to Steve Zwemke and Chris Loffrey for their assistance with the program today. I really appreciate all that they do. I'm Kara Hetland. Thanks so much for listening.